Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines, president of Texas Values. Great to be with you on another glorious week in the state of Texas. I'm back, you know, in the saddle, if you will. I'm excited to be back in the studio. Took a little time off for somewhat of a spring break. You know, us adults, we don't get spring breaks anymore. These kids, you know, they think, my son was asking me, Dad, are people working this week? Is, you know, other people's schedules altered? I'm like, no, only kids in K through 12 and sometimes college kids get spring break. But this show is not about my personal spring break time. I might mention some of that. We talk about the issues of faith, family, and freedom in the arenas of the courts, the legislature, and the media. And if you're new to the show, we've been running about 6 years now, and we focus on these policy issues for the state of Texas. And it's quite common that what's happening around the country can impact our state, and the work we're doing here in the state can have an impact outside of our state as well. And so our guest today is right in the middle of the intersection of so much of what we care about in our state, but what's happening in our country. So I'm excited to have her on today. And this is her first time to be on the show. We hope that she'll be back, as we know this information that she has and the time together in this topic and her role in that is so important to so many critical issues. Sage Steele is going to be our guest today on the Texas Values Report. She is one of the most well-recognized voices and faces in sports broadcasting for many years, serving as an anchor for ESPN's flagship show, SportsCenter. She's been in a variety of other formats, if you will, covering the Super Bowl, covering the Masters, serving on the important foundation, the board of the important foundation, the V Foundation, but also she has been in a role where she's been a part of and been a broadcaster for Miss America and, of course, the very important Spelling Bee. And I'm not kidding. That is a very important contest if you've ever watched how competitive that can get. But she's got her degree from Indiana University, and we're happy to have her on. Sage, welcome to the Texas Values Report.
What an intro. Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
Well, look, I mean, I could talk for a long time. As a matter of fact, I have a senior in my home who wants to be a sports broadcaster. So I'm always looking for nuggets of information. But you've had quite the career. There's no doubt. And I think that, you know, when you look back on that and people see that, they recognize your face and they realize it's almost like somebody that's in your home, right? You see them on TV and they almost feel like, you know, you're their buddy or your friend. And so, but in many fields, not always easy to be involved and be so successful. And here we find ourselves, though, for young women and for older women of any age, right, that the sports issue has become such a lightning rod, if you will, an intersection of things that we care about and a struggle for freedom, for equality, and so many things. So we're going to cover some of those topics today. But I do like to get a little personal. I did some research. Your dad was quite the athlete, okay?
Yes.
In the West Point, I saw you on Twitter. Your this video and this little, you know, clip and documentary they did about him. So quite a sports background that you come from.
Yes, for sure. First of all, let me apologize because I have an old lady dog who is behind me whining. It's not my children; they're much older. And barking. So if I throw something real quick, then you know what it is. Let me apologize to everybody first. Secondly, yes, my dad. Come on, come here, puppy. Come on. Like, do you see?
Hey, this is a family show. Okay, home? So you're fine. The dogs are a part of the family these days.
I know it's terrible though, because it's like the one moment when you need everybody to cooperate, they don't. I'm trying to like bribe her with a treat. So forgive me.
You're fine.
My dad is my everything, Jonathan. My dad is the reason I got into sports casting. He is, and he's almost 78 years old, and he's a fighter. He has two kinds of cancer, unfortunately, and is really my inspiration. But like he made history. He's the first Black man to play varsity football at West Point. Broke the color barrier there in 1966, which is crazy to think about. But you know, he just gets it, and I think that's why, you know, we can talk about it later. But big picture, that's why so much of what's going on in our country today. I'm like, guys, you guys don't have any perspective. You've lost perspective based on, I believe, how far we have come. Yes, with a lot of work still left to be done, but people forget that, you know? But I was that tomboy girl who wanted to just hang out with my dad, my brothers, and talk sports and play sports. And that's where it all came from. And then being an Army brat living all over the world, this sports is the one thing that tied us back to the United States. Every single weekend for football, for basketball, you name it. So that's where my love of sports came from. And I was 11 when I announced to the world, meaning my mom and dad and brothers, that I wanted to be a sportscaster. And the fact that I was able to live my dream at the highest level is really a blessing.
Well, if our audience doesn't know about Gary Still, I encourage you to check out a documentary about him, and I believe by NFL Films and others, people that have put together some great information. And also thank you for his service for two decades for our country. And, you know, sometimes it's later in life, sometimes it's earlier in life, we get a sense, or we're sort of reminded, or it hits a little bit deeper, the impact that our parents have on us, on our upbringing. Well, tell me, though, what was the sport you were best at growing up?
I was a decent runner. I did track and field in, you know, junior high and high school. But to be honest with you, I ended up doing the equestrian thing, horseback riding. And I did it based because in Europe, that's what a lot of kids ended up just trying. You know, every little girl wants to try it. I was super shy, like weirdly shy, to the point where my parents were advised to get me involved in horses because, you know, being around animals, they've proven to be therapeutic. And something about the horses and the equestrian, the hunter jumper, got me, instilled the confidence in me. That's what animals do. So whatever, my parents laugh at this point because all these years they've watched me on ESPN and across, you know, other networks as well. And they're like, what happened to that shy kid who wouldn't talk? And now she doesn't shut up. And now her mouth gets her in trouble, you know? So, and by the way, I still am shy at some moments, like big time, but I've learned how to push through it. And I've learned how to flip that switch, whether it's on TV, on radio, public speaking, which I love, but to me is the hardest thing to do. Yeah. And then, you know, just for everything in life, I have to still fight through it. I just have figured it out.
Well, you've figured it out well. You're doing great at it. And I know that you've still got quite a career ahead of you. I know your time ended with ESPN, even though you were there for, I think, over two decades or close to two decades.
Almost 16 and a half years. Yeah.
And maybe not the way that you had expected. There was some, you know, conflicts there. I know that you were some concerns, and those things came to an end. And now you're in an opportunity, though, where, and that, I think, in many ways, if people want to check out more of that, was a way for you to embrace, but also this next step forward of you want to have the freedom to talk about things that matter to you and that matter to so many other people. And you've earned the right to be in front of the camera more, to have your voice heard, and for people to see you and say, you know what? She's speaking on behalf of so many of us. They look to you more in so many ways. We saw that take center stage this week. You had quite the week so far, even though, you know, this show is on Thursday. You were on Capitol Hill moderating a very important event along with Independent Women's Forum about the Save Women's Sports issue, which, look, your background, your role in so many ways, we need more women that are leaders for a voice on this. Tell us about this important event.
You know, it was incredible. It was something that I was surprised to be asked to do, just because, again, sometimes people veer away from broadcasters and sportscasters, and quite often because we're not going to be able to given the green light from our bosses and networks to be able to do something like this. And so that is, yes, one benefit of having stood up for myself at ESPN and Disney, you know, to be able to speak my mind, as they allowed others to, who just fit a different narrative, but did not allow me to do that. So that's why I stood up, and that's why, and it all kind of came full circle to me, like all the fight that I had with them, like that came full circle on Tuesday when I was on Capitol Hill, because I'm like, if I had not stood up and fought, you know, for myself and for others, because it wasn't just about me. There's so many others who've been silenced, not just at Disney, ESPN, ABC, but honestly throughout the country, throughout corporate America. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been on Capitol Hill doing something that's so much bigger than me, right? And this issue of women in sports. And by the way, I don't have a horse in this race anymore. My daughters are beyond their competitive sports years. I have, next year I'll have all three kids in college at once. Pray for me. But like,
hey, pray for me. I have a senior in high school too. Okay. I noticed that too. I saw your ages because I have a 17, a 16, and a 14-year-old. And I'm like, you have a senior in high school this year. So I will pray for you because I can connect with that. I can,
You're going to be in the same boat in a couple of years with all three in college at once. Yes. And I'm like, oh, it sounded so great when I was, you know, trying to plan my family and have kids. And it's like, oh, they're close together. And then you're like, wait, how the hell am I going to pay for all three? anyway, like that, it was almost emotional being on Capitol Hill and being able
How can it not be? Look, people sometimes are surprised by this. They see some of the work I do and other people. Sometimes at the drop of a hat, I can get emotional. And some of it is because we know the impact that it could have had on our kids or is having or other people. We know what it's taken. Someone like you with your background to get to these places, your father, you know, breaking down those barriers. And I don't talk a lot about myself personally on some of these shows, but I've had some of those experiences too. And we know how important then to earn the right to be in that moment like you did this week on Capitol Hill. And
it's
to
so
know
humbling.
It's so powerful.
Yeah. Very, very humbling. And again, it took me back to the fight that took, you know, 22 months from the moment I got suspended for my comments to the moment it settled, going on TV every single day, live national TV for 2 hours, doing my job that I loved until the very last moment, and miss it because I loved the job itself. But like, it was all worth it. And I went back to thinking about that shy little girl who was afraid to, I didn't even have any friends really, because I was so shy and weird, you know? And so to be there on Capitol Hill and to be moderating that, you know, and let me give a shout out, number one, to the senators who are really pushing this. Senator Tommy Tuberville, of course, coach. Oh my gosh, who are the other senators?
Yeah, no, I've got your list right here. Cindy Hyde-Smith and also Cynthia Loomis.
Yeah. Cynthia Loomis and Katie Britt.
Yes.
Hi, Katie Britt.
Yes.
You know, who was there. So all four of them were there. Thank you. Mind fart there. And but most importantly, from the senators, yes, they're fighting for us. But the women that were in that room, the woman to my right had a daughter who was an athlete, a swimmer at Roanoke College, who I'll let her tell the story separately because I don't want to get choked up again with you right now. But her daughter had a terrible, terrible instance at Roanoke College as a swimmer because of a male in the locker room that they were competing against, and the coaches ignored her. Paula Scanlon, who was a teammate with Leah Thomas at UPenn, what she described, I'd heard her story, I followed Paula for a long time, but to see and listen to her in person give details about not a single coach caring about their complaints and complaints about being uncomfortable undressing next to a male in a locker room, as she said, of a male with fully intact genitalia changing right in front of them. Kim Russell, the coach from Oberlin College lacrosse, who was fired because she stood up for her female athletes. So she is so strong and tough. And then a Title IX lawyer, Jennifer Perceras, who was incredible and reminding us that every single time something like this happens, it is a violation of Title IX. But for some reason, there's no pushback on it to a legal level. We kind of know those reasons, I guess, if we're being honest, because it's number one, it's scary to stand up. People are risking a lot, being not just being canceled, but being fired, as we've seen. And it's expensive to stand up legally. I found that out the hard way, right? So that's why I feel obligated. And I mean, I feel proud to be able to, but obligated to be a voice for these women. I also am gonna never stop imploring other women to do this. Yes, athletes need to stand up, but you know what? They shouldn't be doing this alone. Where are the adults in the room? Where are the men? Where are the fathers? Where are all of the coaches? Where are the administrators? All these people that preach about women and women's sports and Title IX and diversity. Give me a break. They're complete hypocrites at this point. And I am honored to be there to fight. And it's like, hey, I've already been canceled so many times. I'm screwed in many ways already. And I say that like in a positive way because what a blessing to be able to be a voice. I just want to bring others with me.
No, look, and that is, I think, as you continue to move forward, you're going to be an inspiration for people in the business that you were in for so many years and still in for many ways, right? Just because you don't have that ESPN title, that doesn't take away your talent, the experience you have, and how you're going to continue to get that message out there. Okay, I forgot before when we just came on, if you're watching on Facebook, please share this, get this into more groups. We want to have more people a part of this conversation as we're running live on video. So many young women, though, see you, right? And they think, I can be like her, right? I can do that. As I mentioned, I have a 14-year-old daughter in my home. She's in competitive cheer. She's been in competitive dance. And we've had to have some of these conversations about these issues and also to let her know, you need to let me know, sweetheart, if these things come up. That's the role that I'm in as your father. And you're right. We need more people to step up. Over 20 states have passed laws now, either for the K-12 or for the college level. Texas has passed laws for both of those. You know, Paula Scanlon was here helping this. Was that? So was Riley Gaines.
Oh, cool.
And so having those women a part of it and many others, we had some athletes here from Texas, can help really drive the narrative more so than if I'm talking about it. Real quick, let's back up. Senator Tommy Tuberville.
But by the way, why does it take these girls at 22, 21, 20, 24 years old now, if they've graduated and left left college, why are they the ones that have to do this? They're kids. I know that when I was that age, are you kidding me? That there's no way I could have had the courage that these young women are displaying to stand up while going through something very traumatic. So I just wanted to shout out these young women and the courage that they have.
No, you're absolutely right. We're talking with Sage Steele, former sports broadcaster for ESPN, but in many other time periods, she's worked for several different news outlets and continues to have her voice and her face be something that inspires other people and is a source of so much important information. We're talking about her time on Capitol Hill this week, where she was fighting for the Save Women Sports issue. I think we've got a couple of good pictures. We're going to put those on broadcast behind me. This is the group picture here with you right after I think you moderated this event. This is you with this great poster. Women's sports, I can't read it myself because I'm...
Are under attack,
thank you. That's how nearsighted I am, even though I've got a little teleprompter in here in our studio. But Tommy Tuberville, even though he's a U.S. Senator, he was a coach for many years. He had a touch with Texas. Yes. He was a head football coach at Texas Tech for a little while. And he said, stand up for your athletes or get out. His message is similar to yours. What about these coaches? What about the adults in the room that are putting the burden on these young women? It's not right.
I am so grateful for Coach Tuberville. I'd never met him, of course, knew of him all of his time coaching at Alabama and Ole Miss. And by the way, I got to
Auburn.
I was like, I think my daughter was choosing between those two schools.
That's right.
In high school. So I'm like, Coach, what, have any advice? And he's like, have a seat. I just love his passion. I really do. And the other senators that were in that room as well. But how about the fact that a male senator is the one that is like, let's go. And he said to me, he whispered a little something in my ear at the end, and we were whispering back and forth, microphones around, and it's like, we're gonna kick some butt with this because it is absolutely the right thing. Something I know you'll appreciate, and I said this at the end of the round table. I say it quite often publicly whenever I can, actually, because it's something that's affected me in my life and it's changed my life. My dad at West Point, when we were kids, made us memorize part of the cadet prayer there. And it's helped me to choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong, and to never be content with a half truth when the whole can be one. This is the harder right. It's harder to stand upright.
It is.
We're just so silent. I am not going to be content with a half truth. The whole truth is out there, and it is the right thing. So the West Point cadet prayer from all those years ago as a little kid that I had to memorize is the right thing in this situation as well. And all we can do is continue to implore others to stand with us. And I'm going to say this. First of all, this should not be a political issue. This is ridiculous that it's political, and it is divided down party lines. And there are dozens and dozens of senators who have voted against any bill protecting women's sports. And they're all Democrats. And I don't understand that. And they're women, they're female senators. And some of the senators that were in the room with us the other day talked about it and how they've actually spoken to them after votes, spoken to these female Democrat senators and said, what are you doing? Like, why? Why wouldn't you support this? And they have no answers. They don't have an answer. So I'm on the verge of getting the names and calling them out, because people need to know. And this is further proof that elections have consequences.
No, there's no doubt. And look, this is part of the reason why we're in this situation, because you have a president, the Biden administration, who's trying to rewrite Title IX really on their own. They don't have congressional approval. They don't have the courts allowing these type of things or mandating them. They're trying to rewrite them on to allow people like Will, Leah Thomas to compete against women. This is an athlete who's from Texas. Who knew that swimming was going to sort of be the sport in many ways that took center stage on it, but it did. And so you're absolutely right. Elections matters. You can find Sage Steele at sagesteele.com on X. You can find her at Sage Steele. That's with an E at the end of the Steele. Speaking of elections, okay, I know you've posted some things about the relevance of presidents or candidates. I saw Trump was at UFC. I think you made a comment or two about that. Look, I mean, a lot of people see him as a man of the people. I mean, what do you, you know, and I mean, I know he runs as a Republican, but a lot of people that are Democrats see interest. What do you think, particularly, he does get involved in a lot of sports events. What do you think is attracting people to Trump as we move closer to November?
It's so funny because you even see, you know, Hollywood people now and people who have just never, ever considered voting anything but Democrat publicly saying, I'm going to have to consider Trump because of the mess that we're in. Michael Rapaport, for instance, a lot of people in the music industry, you know, black artists, rap artists are saying it as well. And it's pretty simple to me. When you just look at how our country has been run for the last 3 years, if we don't make a change, then it's on us. Listen, I understand a lot of people's hesitation with Donald Trump. I absolutely do. For me, what I have tried to do my whole life, actually, long before this, the last, you know, I'd say 7 years of controversy surrounding Trump, I've always tried to take my emotion out of it. And also, right or wrong, for me, I try to take the moral side out of things as well, because for the most part, politicians, a lot of them are kind of icky. So I just say, listen, forget about anything personal, because there's skeletons in every closet. What are their policies? What do they stand for with those policies? What are they going to do to better the country? Period. Like, that's all there is to me. And I'm proud of it that I've been able to separate all of it. Sometimes it's your head versus your heart. And this is a business decision for our country at this point. Most importantly, I think our safety as a country in every way, whether it's national security, whether it's across the pond, whether it's what's happening at our border. We have to do what's best for Americans. And it's obvious right now that the Biden administration does not keep the people that are already in this country legally, the American citizens, the taxpayers. We are not the number one priority right now. And that's all I care about. I don't care who's in office. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent. I don't care. Just do the right thing for America. And that's what we need now. Obviously, it's not the people who are in charge right now.
No, I think a lot of people feel the same way. We're talking with Sage Steele. She is one of the most recognized and most successful sports broadcasters for many years with ESPN. Now she's doing a lot of other great things and making a difference for people throughout the country, if not the world, with the Save Women's Sports issue and others. And look, the reality is, for many years, you were reporting about history. Now you're in a position to yourself and others help make history. And I think that's going to have more of a legacy as you move forward. It certainly will in my eyes. And so I'm so thankful for the work you're doing. I know it's going to continue to have an impact moving forward. SageSteele.com is her website. She's got a show coming out soon. Can you give us a pre-announcement, or we got to wait?
Just a couple more weeks, but I'll say this. It is all to me about having conversations, not interviews. It's a conversation. It's a back and forth. It's listening and reacting. And it's really about trying to get to like the core of who people are, not just all their accomplishments. It's like, what's your why? And then when you know what hits the fan, how do you pull through that? I think sometimes they see all of us right on TV and doing fun interviews and conversations in this cool, glamorous life. And it's like, yes, and people are human. So I'm really excited to pull out that human side. I've already taped 8 episodes, actually. It'll debut very shortly. And I'll end with this. I think people will be very surprised at who I've teamed up with to do this. And it really speaks to diversity of thought. And,
well, we're looking forward to
talk
it.
To people who no, feel differently.
I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to be taking notes because you're a professional. I'm still trying to get a handle on some of this work.
You're killing this. It's really, really cool to watch. And see, like with you, it was a conversation. It wasn't an interview. And that's my goal. But I just want to thank you for, you know, caring enough to ask to have me on. I want to apologize for the whining dog in the background. I think my daughter came home and grabbed her. So I apologize for that. But I'm just super honored to be able to stand up for some other people here. I know what it's like to be silenced. I know what it's like to be scared and to be hiding your truth because of what's out there today. And I'm nothing compared to what these women are going through. So if nothing else, that this fight I had and all my years of kind of clawing to try to get to the top and remain there in a man's world, you're damn right I'm going to try to help fight for these women and girls. It's the last, I said it on Twitter one of the times, I do feel like this is that hill to die on for me. And if anyone tries to argue with me about the importance of women's sports, bring it.
Exactly. We're going to be right there behind you. As a matter of fact, we want to get you to come to Texas sometime soon, put an event together. We want people to meet you in person. You can talk about the show, whatever you want to do. And so, because I know there's still a lot more conversation for us to have. Sage Steele did a wonderful job today, and she's been our guest today on the Texas Values Report. Thanks, Sage.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
Well, all right. I've got like 30 seconds for a little bit of wrap up. What a fantastic conversation. And I just feel honored to be able to have it. Go to our website, txvalues.org. You know that we just finished primary elections. There's runoffs that are coming up. There's more information about what you can do as a voter. We've got our Faith, Family, and Freedom Policy Forum on September 13th and 14th. That'll be coming up soon. I'm going to be in Fort Worth on Saturday for a big event. If you don't have your tickets already, sorry, it's sold out. But check in on our website, txvalues.org. If you see value in our work, remember, we're a nonprofit organization. This is how together, when you donate, you can protect faith, family, and freedom in Texas. And we'll talk to you next week on the Texas Values Report.